This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. The United States and Britain have imposed a new round of sanctions on Iran as concern grows that Tehran's unprecedented attack on Israel could fuel a wider war in the Middle East. In actions Thursday, the U.S. Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control targeted 16 people and two entities in Iran that produce engines that power the drones used in the April 13th attack on Israel. Additionally, Britain is targeting several Iranian military organizations, individuals, and entities involved in Iran's drone and ballistic missile industries. Should Israel decide over the objections of its allies to launch a retaliatory attack against Iran, Israeli military experts say they believe Iran's aging air defense systems leave them vulnerable. In an interview with Reuters news agency, Israel's former Aerial Defense Force commander, General Naaman Gavish, said Iran's air defenses consist largely of old Russian anti-aircraft missile systems or of similar Iranian-produced equivalents, such as old American and Russian warplanes, some of which date back to the 70s. He said Israeli pilots have years of experience in dealing with them.
You know, air defense, it's always a challenge for the Israeli pilots. But then from the other end, this is something that we know how to deal with. I wouldn't get into the operational way of doing things. But this is what the Israeli Air Force and the Israeli pilots were training themselves for years and years.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with his Ukrainian counterpart Dmytro Kuleba on the sidelines of the G7 economic meetings in Capri, Italy, Thursday. As the meetings began, Blinken urged members of the U.S. Congress to pass the supplemental budget, a budget that's expected to be considered late this week. Kuleba said he was at the G7 meetings to encourage the world's richest nations to help the Ukrainian cause. He said Ukraine has shown it can be successful when it receives the right kind of support. This is VOA News. The United Arab Emirates is struggling to recover from the heaviest recorded rainfall ever to hit the desert nation as its main airport worked to restore normal operations, even as floodwaters still covered portions of major highways and roads. More from VOA's Tommy McNeil.
Dubai International Airport, the world's busiest for international travel, allowed global carriers on Thursday morning to again fly into Terminal 1 at the airfield. The UAE, a hereditarily ruled autocratic nation on the Arabian Peninsula, typically sees little rainfall in its arid desert climate. However, a massive storm forecasters have been warning about for days blew through the country's seven sheikdoms on Tuesday, causing massive flooding. Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Canadian and U.S. authorities said Wednesday six people have been arrested and three more are being sought in connection with what they call the largest gold heist in Canadian history, a cargo of over $16 million in gold and currency. Reuters correspondent Ryan Brooks reports.
Regional police in Ontario named nine suspects and say they face 19 charges. At least two were Air Canada employees. Five suspects were arrested in the country and released on bail, while one suspect was arrested in Pennsylvania with firearms and remains in U.S. custody. Police have issued Canada-wide warrants for the other three. Air Canada suspended one employee charged in the theft, while another had already left the airline before the charges were announced. The authorities found more than 2 pounds of gold and approximately $315,000 worth of Canadian currency. They also found more than 60 firearms believed to have been bought with the stolen money. Following the heist, a Miami-based transport and security services provider, Brinks, sued Air Canada in October, alleging negligence and carelessness.
That's Reuters correspondent Ryan Brooks reporting. The White House said it would not renew a license that was due to expire early Thursday that would have eased oil sanctions on Venezuela as the U.S. moves to reimpose punitive measures in response to President Nicolas Maduro's failure to deliver on election promises. Reuters correspondent Julian Satherwaite reports.
Hours before the deadline, the U.S. Treasury Department issued a new license, giving firms 45 days to wind down oil and gas operations in the country. It all comes after Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro failed to honor all terms in the deal that had eased sanctions. The U.S. says he's breached a promise to allow the opposition to run a candidate of its choice in July's presidential election. However, the news of renewed sanctions drew a defiant response from the Venezuelan leader.
That's Reuters correspondent Julian Satterthwaite reporting. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.